So today we're going to continue in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And some of you who know me well will be shocked to see that I have my cell phone out, especially on a weekend. I'm going high tech. Yeah. So I'm going to read, actually, this is the Message translation, but it just spoke to me. That's what I've been reading at home as we go through Colossians, and in particular, this translation of verses 6 and 7. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. It's the word of the Lord.
Thanks, man. How are we this morning? Good, y'all. A little quiet. Could be because it's not as full today. That's okay. We can work with that. There's seats down here. If being up there is bothersome to you guys, if you don't like being in the peanut gallery, there's a lot of empty seats down here. I'm just saying that. Steve, Patty Weber, back row. All right, let me pray for us again. It's good to be with you all. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Lord, just help us as we walk through your word this morning. And we're in seeking you. We need you, and we need you to reveal yourself to us, which we know that you do through your word by the power of your spirit. And so we need to see your son Jesus this morning. And I pray that you would help me make you more visible this morning, Lord. So speak to your people. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, praise the Lord. It's a short two-verse section we have this morning. It's very tangible. There's a lot of goodness packed in there, though, so my hope is to move through this with clarity and precision, so let's see how that goes. I don't know about you guys, but for me, this walk with Jesus, it has not been like falling off of a log. It's been difficult and beyond difficult at times, nearing what has seemed impossible. And the more I focus on the difficulty or the impossibility, or the more that I go to people, places, and things other than Jesus to seek resolve, I find myself incredibly discouraged and sometimes feeling like just throwing my hands up in the air. And so we can't do that. We need to be participants, and participants specifically with him, with Jesus. I have to constantly go back and remember where this whole journey for me began, which is through faith in Christ, right? And remember that I put my faith in him originally, and it's only when I look to him and put my trust in him that he begins to work these things out. Last week, Greg talked about Paul's struggle for those whom he loved, namely at the church in Laodicea and in Colossae. Paul hadn't even met, you know, many of these brothers and sisters, but just has this deep love for them, and he struggles in faith on their behalf. In Revelation 3, if you guys go read back through that this week in verses 14 through 22, you'll see Jesus' thoughts to the church in Laodicea. And you'll see that the church in Laodicea was being led away from Jesus by the riches of this world. They had found everything that they needed in Christ, but yet they were being led away by the riches and the treasures of the world. And in Colossians 2, and Greg preached through last week, some of it, at least in part, Paul warns the church, and he says that you have found the riches and the treasure and assurance in Jesus. And he says, don't be led away from him by the riches of this world, right? And in Colossae specifically, he's saying, don't be led away by the wisdom of men. The term he uses is plausible arguments, which are arguments that come across as true, or they seem to make some sense, but yet when you follow them, there is no true wealth in them. And all they end up doing is diluting a true picture of Christ. So to assure that the Colossians do not become deluded by the riches of the world, Paul takes the Colossian church to where they began with Jesus, where they first received him. That's how he starts off in this first verse. This is verse 6. Therefore, he says, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord. And I've already revealed my hand, but just to ask the question, how did they receive Christ Jesus the Lord? And the answer is, it's the same as it was for them as it is for us. And it may have looked very different for each one of us. Some of you may be able to remember it in vivid detail. Some of you don't know the moment that it happened, but at some point in time, you received the Lord in faith. This is how we first received him, is in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever would draw near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so true riches and treasures and wealth that do not perish can only be found in Christ, right? Not in the land of Laodicea, not in the land of Colossae, not in any other land or in the arguments of any other man, but only through faith in Christ, in him alone. He is the one that the Colossians have received. He's the one that we have received in faith. We have put our trust in Jesus. Amen. I'm reading a book by Paul David Tripp right now. He wrote on marriage, and it's an old book, but it's a good book. And I can't remember the name of it right now, but if you just go look up, it's like six gospel commitments for marriage or something like that. Anyway, he says this about faith or trust. He says, is being so convinced that you can rely on the integrity, the strength, the character, and the faithfulness of another, that you are willing to place yourself in their care. You would be so convinced of the integrity and the strength and the character and faithfulness of another that you are willing to place yourself in their care. And who has shown themselves more trustworthy than Jesus, right? He's given everything on our behalf. He's given his very life for us to show that his integrity and his strength and his character and his faithfulness they're unmatched, right? And by grace through faith, we have put our trust in Christ. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 2. It's by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have put our faith in Jesus, all of our trust in him and who he is, who he's shown himself to be on our behalf. And so the Colossians have received Christ as their Savior, as have we. But he's not just our Savior, he's also our Lord. And it goes on in verse 6, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Right? When we acknowledge Christ, not just as the one who has saved us, but as our Lord, we acknowledge that he is our master, that he knows what's best for us. And we're going to follow him, or we're going to, as the passage says, walk in him. Through faith in Jesus, not only do the Colossians have reason to rejoice because he's spared them from the wrath of God, and he's granted them intimacy with himself, but they also have the clear marching orders of how to walk out this new life of faith with Jesus, to walk in him as Lord. So let's look at this. Through faith, we walk in him as Lord. We now understand that there is no life outside of Jesus. That's the life of faith for us. So we walk in him, in his spirit, in his strength, in his love and mercy and compassion and his steadfastness. We walk as he walked. This is what the life of faith is. The life of salvation is to walk in him. And the second that we step outside of him and his ways, we are not walking in faith. We're walking in the flesh at that point. I don't know if that's helpful to you guys, but just to really consider yourselves as standing on Christ. We're in him. And this is where true life is. This is where the life of faith is, when you walk in the Spirit. But if you step outside even for a moment of him, this is when you're walking in the flesh. This is where it leads to death. Paul wrote to the Galatians, and this is in Galatians 3 in verses 1 through 3. He said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And he says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So To walk in him is to walk by his Spirit, to walk in faith unto the completion of this journey that we began with him. Paul, when he speaks in Romans 1:16 and 17, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, right? To all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. And he says, from faith, for faith. And the notes in my Bible, as you look at the little letters next to that phrase, it says, from beginning and ending in faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That is to say that by which you were first saved, faith, is that by which you will continue to be saved. All right, we were made to walk with the Lord from beginning unto end with Christ as our Savior, to walk with him, in the Spirit, in faith. And so ask us this morning, have we placed our faith in him as our Savior, the one who has spared us from the wrath of God, redeemed us from our sins and trespasses, and granted us intimacy with the Lord himself? Are we daily placing our faith in him as Lord, i.e. are we walking in him, in his ways, in the Spirit, every moment of every day, just walking in him in faith? I don't know this, brother, but John Greenleaf Whittier, I've read this before, but he said, the reality is that on many days, the steps of faith fall on the seeming void. However, over time, we begin to learn that those steps always find the rock beneath. And so are we trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do we have faith that when we walk in him, that he catches our feet, that he is the rock beneath us when we walk in faith and we are in him? He is the one whose hand that we can hold as we walk through the giant crowd. This image has always been helpful to me, and I experienced it one time in Portland. I actually got to be part of it, but that imagery of holding Christ's hand like little children as we approach a large sea of people that we as little ones can't see over at all. We can see the waist belts of those in front of us, but we can't see what's going to happen when we go into the crowd, and we can't see what's on the other end. But when we hold hands with our Lord, with Christ in trust, our faith is in him, and we hold his hand and he leads us through that crowd. And he's good, and he is all-knowing and all-powerful. He can see what is ahead of us. He can see the dangers that may be there that need to be avoided. He can see the ones that we need to go right through the middle of with him. And he can see where we're headed. He's the one who's leading us. I was in Portland with my kids. This was years ago, because I think we just had Indy and Romy at the time. But we were downtown in Portland, and Portland loves their protests. I'm sure they're usually, if you don't, there might be some cynicism in this, but that this protest that we wandered upon, that I'm sure it was about something really important. Anyway, we came out of our hotel, and it was, I mean, it was just a vast sea of people. And I even, like, just as an adult, I was shocked. I'm like, wow, loud people yelling, right? And I was, my kids are like, what do we do? I'm like, well, we need to go through that. They're just like, you've got to be kidding me. You know, like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, I got it. Just hold my hand, you know? We'll go. And there was no hesitation. You know, they just grabbed my hand and we just walked through, you know? I am not Jesus, but the image is there. Christ is that for us. We can take his hand and trust him, and in faith just walk through the crowd with him. He is faithful, amen. So Paul goes on, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And then he says, rooted and built up in him. So what happens when we place our faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord? What happens when we walk in him? We are rooted and built up in him. And so the life of faith is both individual and it's corporate. And these two pictures of the life of faith are like two sides of the same coin. On one side of the coin, individually, we are rooted in him. And on the other side of the coin, corporately, we are built up in him. So let's look individually first. In faith, individually, we are rooted in him. That is that our roots are deeply planted within Christ when we walk in faith with him. Some days I know choosing to trust him seems against every bit of our being. We may feel physically and emotionally unable, but if we are filled with his spirit and we are walking with him in faith, we must always remember that we may be unwilling, but we are never unable. We're never unable through faith to walk in him as he's called us to walk. When we choose to trust him over trusting in ourselves, and we begin to see that he truly is alive in us and working, and we are being rooted deeply in our Savior. I'm sure many of you have experienced it in these moments that are deep trials, and our feelings betray us as though we aren't able to take another step in faith, and yet we choose to take that step of faith. And Christ meets us in it, and we see what Paul's talking about, that we're being rooted deeply in him. We're given a faith that lasts, that produces fruit. I've read Jeremiah 17 for us before, and it's very similar to what we see in Psalm 1. This is in verses 5 through 8. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. We put our faith in ourselves, we put our trust in man, and it leads to our demise, to our dehydration, to our death, to no fruit or bad fruit. But he goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. See, through our faith in Christ, our roots go deep into him, and we bear fruit. That is, it's his fruit. It's good fruit. It can only come from him. And so I'll just ask us today, are we struggling today? Are we in need of relenting or surrendering to trust in him over trusting in ourselves? If we are, that's okay. And we don't need to wait to deal with that. We can simply come before him right now and just confess, right? In faith, we confess. In faith, we repent. And the Lord meets us in it. And he's growing us. He's rooting us deeper down into him, which is what we need. So that's the individual end. We're being rooted in him, and corporately through faith, we're being built up in him. I've read this one before too, but I'll read it again just because it's good. Mark Dever, your salvation may be personal, but it was not intended to be private. Salvation may be personal, but it was not intended to be private. This really flies, I know, in the face of the American Christian, the individualist that proclaims their love for Christ, but disdains his church. And I know that often comes out of being hurt by churches and all of that, but that's not the place where we can stay, is just you and Jesus and separation from his body. Through faith, we're becoming part of something that is greater than ourselves. We're being built up in him into his church, the visible manifestation of his majesty, his bride, his body, his building, his dwelling place. So the scripture tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 22, and in 1 Peter 2, 5, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We as a people are being built into a dwelling place for God by the power of his Spirit through faith. Peter says, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. Living stones being built into a spiritual house. When we choose to trust Jesus, we grow stronger in him individually under the surface, i.e. our roots are buried deep into him. And we also grow stronger in him corporately as we grow upward and outward together for the sake of those around us, right? For the sake of those in the body, for the sake of the lost in the world, and for the glory of God. So on the mornings when I wake up consumed with physical pain or mental anguish and I make this walk with Jesus all about myself, I sure miss out on a lot. I miss out on a lot. I end up missing out on Jesus. I miss out on you all. I miss out on being a participant in this glorious work that Christ has called us to. I miss out on the freedom from self that Christ came to give us through faith in him. However, when I wake in pain and anguish, and I acknowledge that both might be real, but in faith I ask God how he's going to use it all, not just in my life, but in the life of the body for the sake of his glory, then I experience the abundant life, right? One where I see that Jesus wastes nothing, and he brings beauty out of everything. That song that has become so popular, he makes everything, everything, everything beautiful. That's who he is. It's what he does. He makes everything new, and he does it in his time. And that's the journey we're on with him through faith, is to trust him and walk with him, be built up in him, be rooted in him. So Paul goes on, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him. And he says, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So in faith, we were established in him as we were taught. Paul taught that there is no way to have a true lasting faith unless it is established through faith in Christ, right? There's this section of scripture in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3 where people are arguing about who they're following. You guys probably remember this part where I follow Apollos, I follow Paul. And Paul says this. This is in verse 5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. He says, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So there is no other foundation than Jesus Christ that can bear the weight of this life of faith that we've been called to walk in together. Only he is able. He's not only the firm foundation, but he's the cornerstone of that foundation. He is the one stone that, if removed from our walk of faith, causes the entire building to crumble. He's that important. If our foundation is built on anything other than Jesus, the life of faith becomes a cruel rhetorical lever that makes men and women and churches more empty and broken and hopeless and powerless and directionless and frustrated than they were before they ever knew about the Lord. Does that make sense? If we remove Christ from the foundation, the one that we were established on, and we put anything other than him in his place, and we start to move forward in faith, we have no power. We have no presence. And so God seems to be like some sort of a cruel person who doesn't hear us and doesn't answer us and is absent. But that's not the truth. When Christ is the foundation, we have his power, we have his presence. And so we need to ask ourselves, is our faith established in him? Is it, is he our foundation? Or have we placed somebody or something else in his place? Just a good question for us to check in on. Our passage comes to a close this morning with Paul proclaiming that the life of faith in Jesus is one that abounds with thanksgiving. And so this is how we're going to conclude our time together. In faith, we abound in thanksgiving. When we walk with our faith in Jesus, we will not find an easy life, but we will find a life overwhelming with gratefulness and thanksgiving when we just take the time to consider what he has done for us. He has given us a new life, a life that is unlike anything that this world has to offer. As we've said, a life that is in him. Jesus is an island of peace in a vast sea of chaos and destruction. We just think of what he has done for us, what he has given us, this new life that we have been given in him through faith. And we can have peace here and now, even though everything around us can be chaotic. It's a new life. It's not like anything else. He's given us a life where we're not left wondering how to live, a life where we can bury our roots deep down into the rich soil of Christ, and that always produces good fruit. We don't need to wonder what we're supposed to do or how we're supposed to walk. Christ has not hidden things from us. He's made it very clear in his word. He's called us to walk as he walked and to be rooted deeply and founded in him. And we do this through faith. He's given us a life that is not only deeply rooted in him, but it's also built up in him. So as far down as our roots go down into him, our branches reach up and out on his behalf. We become a refuge for those who are around us, a place to come in for safety and for healing. All of this happens through faith. And he's given us a life that is established on the firmest of foundations, and of course, that's Christ himself. He is our rock, our salvation, our fortress that cannot be shaken. And so when the winds of life and the rain comes and pours down upon us, we are standing on him as our foundation, and we will not be moved. And lastly, he's given us a life that through faith in him enables us to rejoice in suffering, to wait in trials, to hope in death, to love in persecution, to forgive without merit, and as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We have much to be thankful for. Some of us maybe, I don't know, maybe not. I feel like it's such a stark contrast from what I came out of, that the darkness unto light is, it's just beyond me. He has spared me from this death having the final word. Amen. So grateful for that. I get to walk through that door unto eternal life. He's spared me from the wrath of God that was definitely due to me for my sins against him, for my rebellion against him. He's spared me from all of this, and he's ushered me into this life of faith. It's a gift that he's given me. By his grace, I have faith in him. I get to walk with you all through faith in him every single day, and he's rooting me deeply into him. It's the greatest blessing to be his, to be called his, to be led by him, to be known by him, and to know him, and to be able to be invited by him in faith to share the truth about Jesus with anybody that we encounter. Our lives are overflowing with opportunity for thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. I want to pray for us before we partake in communion together. So let's bow our heads and let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for this life of faith. Lord, thank you that you have shown yourself to be the one in whom we can place all of our trust. We are safe in your hands, like nowhere else, like no one else. We find peace in you, and we know all of this because of what you've done on the cross, that you shed your blood for us, that you died for us, that you gave up everything for us to make sure that we would be with you, that we might be able to walk with you in this life of faith and grow in you until we're one day with you. And so we praise you for this gift of faith, for this life of faith. I pray that each one of us this morning would just grab a hold of you afresh, just in faith, that we would be willing to trust you wherever we're at, Lord, with whatever struggles or pains or joys we're in the middle of, that we would just trust you anew this morning. We praise you and we love you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen.